Good evening and welcome to the Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for Tuesday, August 19th, 2014. The time now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Gamble, and Gehring.
Thank you. And Councilmember Davis had stated that he would not be here this evening. Oh. And so let the record show him as excused.
Not here.
Thank you. I was going to say absent. I meant excused absent. Councilmember Cuddeback, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we begin, our Principal Lombardi was not able to make it this evening. So we will schedule him for another time. So coming back to the first item under announcements and presentations, I have a proclamation to read in. This is a proclamation, Monroe Fair Days. Whereas the first agricultural display in Snohomish County was held in 1874, making the fair one of the oldest in Washington, and whereas the fair began in downtown Monroe in 1908 at the former IOOF Hall and grounds on North Lewis Street, moved to its current location in 1945 and has become the largest county fair in the Pacific Northwest, and whereas the Evergreen State Fair offers entertainment for people of all ages and includes a carnival, amusement rides, crafts, exhibits, races, concerts, fireworks, animals, fun contests, music acts, dancers, roving entertainers, and the Western Heritage Museum, and whereas the Evergreen State Fair draws approximately 340,000 visitors annually from all over Washington and the Pacific Northwest, bringing $3 million in revenue into Snohomish County, with much of it benefiting the Monroe community. And whereas our entire community is involved with the fair, including the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, which organizes the Fair Days Parade, and the Sky Valley Food Bank, which conducts a food drive, and whereas the theme for the 2014 Evergreen State Fair is Experience Animal Magnetism, and whereas the Monroe Fair Days Parade will be held on August 23rd in downtown Monroe, and whereas the City of Monroe and the community values the benefits derived from the Evergreen State Fair and the Monroe Fair Days Parade, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim the 12 days from August 21st through September 1st as Monroe Fair Days in the City of Monroe, Washington, and encourage residents, businesses, and visitors to participate in the Evergreen State Fair and the Monroe Fair Days Parade. Thank you. I'd like to invite Una from the Chamber and Hal Gossman from the fairgrounds with the county to come up and receive their proclamations.
It'll be in the paper.
Yeah. Should I say something?
If you'd like to say a couple words, yes.
Please.
I do want to say how much we appreciate the partnership with Monroe, and really it's one of the highlights of the year for me is riding in the parade, driving the trolley, you know, not running over your little kids. But it's fun, and the week is just starting. It's pretty crazy over there right now, so please come over. If you want an early tour, just let me know. There's stuff you can shovel. And, but it's a fun place, and thanks for being part of the fair community and having this. This is cool. You know, it's a neat proclamation. I appreciate that from you all. So, thanks.
Thank you.
And thanks to the Chamber, too. Mm-hmm. Those are great. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see
thank
you guys you. At our out there.
Cool. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Our next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue to the City of Monroe, related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Did anybody sign in? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward and speak? Shelley put her hand up. Oh, she was putting your hand up. Okay. Anybody would like to come forward to speak? Anybody at all? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move forward into an executive session. This executive session will be related to labor negotiations with citation to RCW 42-30-140, subsection 4, subsection B. The time that we're going to allow initially will be 30 minutes. And should we go ahead and do it in here? Let's go ahead and do it in here this evening. So we're going to have to ask everybody to go out to the lobby for right now. We're back in session. We are now moving on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
Motion to approve consent agenda as listed.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Unfinished business. This is AB 14-105, City Web and Social Media Presence Options. And I believe, Gene, you've got this.
Thank you, Mayor. We've talked about this on several occasions, and staff has put a significant amount of work into researching our social media presence options. We have those before you this evening, and I'll kind of talk you through the agenda bill, and I'll draw your attention to the several attachments as well. As you work down through this, the number one option, as far as our presence goes, is to basically ratchet back what we're doing. We would have the city web page, and there would be no social media content being posted. So that would be a step back from what we're doing today. Number two is basically what we were doing today, and we would have a archiving service put on board, which we don't currently have, but we would enlist a service, put that into place, and that would archive any of our social media posts, that type of thing, that we're doing now, and we would have the ability to do a little more with option number two. Option number three is basically the same that we just talked about on two, with the addition of some blogs. We could post different items on there. The archiving service would be able to retain those records to the best of that software or that archiving company's ability. And then the associated staff time and the cost for that service is listed below. Number four would be and a full-blown, every council member could have a social media site. We would continue to do the city website. We would also have the archiving service maintain that. And again, hopefully the service would be able to provide any public records that we would need to provide should we get a request in and take care of those types of things. As you continue to scroll down, you'll see that one of the attachments, the very first one.
Before you get down, I'd like everybody to note also that right under option number four, that there's a note in italics that the options two through four do not include appointed officials. And so that's something I think that it's important to note. The costs are substantially higher the more people you add to these options, and so just be aware of that.
Here.
Councilmember Camp?
If I could just ask a quick question. So it's 3240 listed under option four in the verbiage, but under option four, archiving cost is 3250. Is that just a typo?
What are you comparing again?
If you look at the paragraph, city webpage information, says 3240. Archiving cost 3240 per year?
Yes.
A typo.
That's okay. Thank you. Just want to make sure.
And what were you comparing that to again? The table?
Tax budget.
Perfect.
Is that
Thank
it?
You.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead, Gene.
The attachment one, the first attachment you see, is a comparison to our local cities and some of the bigger government facilities and what they are currently doing. It's kind of a checklist. If you can go through there, you can see that the majority of the cities at this point don't have a fully active social media presence. attachment two is somewhat like buying a car and all the options and how it is will affect staff and our services as a whole. Our goal this evening is to, of course, have some discussion and direction from council in the form of a motion so that we can choose an option and then put together a policy to support that option. And again, before you this evening, there's four listed, and we're willing to discussion.
I'd like to talk just briefly about how we approach this also. In addition to taking a look to see what other jurisdictions had, which is that attachment number one, we then took a look to see what the technology allowed, because we do need to have a way to archive and to save the information. So what we did was staff, Liz and Jean, both reached out to, and Brad, probably others, reached out to two companies that have that do this type of work. One of them, I think, came from a lead from another jurisdiction that is doing this kind of work, to get an idea of what sort of technical parameters they offer. And it was coming out of that that we came out of that we came up with these four options. Again, the request here is that council select one of the four options after discussion, and that based on the selection that you make, staff will then go back and actually draft a policy based on what the technology is. To talk about policy before knowing what the technology is capable of is putting the proverbial cart before the horse, which is why you're here looking at what the technical parameters are, and then we start drafting the policy. So with that, are there any questions, comments? Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I was going to bring a report from the Legislative Committee. We've talked about this for months, feels like.
Years.
And really, like Gene said, we want to get some action going on this and get some closure. And we've been trying, if you recall back for the past months, as we've reported out, we're still gathering data. We're still waiting to find resources that can do all the archiving that's necessary. And so at this point, we're wanting to move forward so that we can budget for this next year, what the amount's going to be. And so what we have felt most comfortable with is option two. Because option three, Gene has made clear that the service and the software just isn't there to pull all the information up in the archiving at this point. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and move to select city web and social media presence option number two.
I'll second that motion.
I have a first and I have a second for from Councilmember Gehring for option number two. Councilmember, do you have anything else, Councilmember Hanford?
That's it.
Councilmember Cuddeback, discussion on the motion to select option two.
I just had some questions.
Okay.
Thanks for pulling this together. I really appreciate the time that staff has put in. So just a couple questions. How did you guys figure out the staff hours?
Essentially, what we... Let's look at number four. Let's go full boat.
Sure.
On option four and explain that. Currently, we have a process. If requests come in, whether it's a public records request or it's a pothole in the street, we try and monitor the website, emails, those types of things. That would be ramped up on option four. So essentially, a staff member every morning would come in and monitor everybody's social media accounts, make sure that one of those things did not come through, whether it's a public records or it's some sort of a pothole in the street or a street sign down, something that the city has a duty to respond to. We'd do the same thing in the evening with number four before we left work to make sure that there wasn't a potential liability hanging out there that we needed to deal with that evening before staff left or do a potential call out. So that's where the hours come from. In addition to posting additional items that we're not currently doing at this time. Right now, we haven't been tracking the existing staff time, which is why those numbers aren't reflected in the spreadsheet before you.
And when you were talking about the archiving, our council member Hanford said that the archiving is just not there. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because you give options of archiving with a cost. So how is that not supported? Or maybe tell me a little bit more about that.
It has to do with the way information is posted, like on Facebook. And I, if it's okay to defer to Liz to talk about what the service can capture and what it can't capture.
Yes, there are some limitations to what these different archiving services can do. Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate, we did focus on two specific products that we heard from a couple of entities that are either currently using or are currently going to switch to. So we went for what we felt were high-level options that had the most options to capture. So even then, we focused on what they can do and what they can't do, and really it's what they can't do. So really it does not capture every single thing that you do. Everything that you would do on your own account or on your own page, it would capture, but it wouldn't capture anything that was done outside of that page. So there's some limitations there as far as posting to someone else's account or responding to someone else's account when it wasn't on your page. So there were some issues with that. There was also some confidentiality issues on the private messaging piece, kind of a different aspect there, but, you know, with public records requests and producing the documents, you know, that's another thing that staff time doesn't necessarily take into account is if we had to process these as public records. And one of the other big pieces of the limitations was that the system is only accessed every 15 minutes, so really the data is only captured every 15 minutes, so it doesn't capture every single thing that happens. If something was put on there for 4 minutes, 10 people commented, and then it was deleted within the 15-minute period, that whole conversation would not be captured. So there was some specific limitations to that that we felt that, you know, we presented the option saying we could absolutely do that, and in fact that's, you know, option two even says for our city that's what we would do, and even then we need to know that there's still that limitation of the 15-minute, and that's, you know, I'll get Brad and Ben to verify on that number because they were all in on it with me as well, representing our de facto webmaster and our IT department. On that 15-minute piece there, that is the industry standard. That's nothing that we can change at this time. So it's just a limitation that's out there for everyone.
If I could tap onto that a little bit more too, because I asked a number of questions because I know that there's probably an interest in being able to, in essence, have your own account be able to, like the Chamber of Commerce or like the Monroe Monitor, from your council member Facebook account, and then when the monitor posts something that you want to comment on, when you go comment on it from your council Facebook account, so you comment on their timeline on something they've put up, the system, if it's up there for longer than 15 minutes, would copy your comment, but it wouldn't capture the comments leading up to it, and it wouldn't capture the comments after it. It would only capture what you put on their timeline. So one of the issues that the technology didn't allow was to see the context of your comments. So if you put up an LOL, not that you would as a council member, but we'll just, or a smiley face, you wouldn't know what you're LOLing to. And that's that was one of the issues that we found, is that you don't capture the context. You don't know if somebody asked a question that you were responding to. So that brought us back, that brought back the question then to, do you go ahead and put the information on your Facebook account and people just have to respond within your Facebook account? And I think that's what we're looking at with option four here. So that's one thing to recognize, is that even if you go with option four, you're not going to be like you are as a regular person on Facebook, where you can go comment on the wonderful fair at the Fair Days Parade, and if it happens to relate to city business, boy, the city needs to do more, a council member might say, or I really like that policy idea, you don't capture everything before it and everything after it. It's almost like you'd want to host the conversation on your city council page. You just, as a council member, couldn't go to Let It Fly or you had me at or whatever and say that's a great policy thing and we should look into it, because you can't capture that.
So with the limitations on the city social media, the committee felt they were willing to still go forward with that, but not for elected officials. And what's the rationale? I mean, I'm curious.
I'm happy to comment when it's my turn, but yeah.
I'm asking a question.
Since she's asking a question, the two of you will go ahead and break from the buttons for a second.
Okay.
So the two of you go ahead and respond.
Well, we talked about that. And the idea was, we've already ventured out. We've already established a Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to jump in whenever, Gene. But to step back and say, and just delete the account, and then all of a sudden take a step back, it just didn't seem right. I mean, we're already at this level.
You're talking about option one. Option one would be
right.
The city presence. I think Councilor Kodak's asking about council member web pages.
So let me clarify my question.
Sorry.
So it sounded like the committee recommended option two,
yes,
which is to have the city be able to have a social media presence, which we already do.
Correct.
But what I heard was that there's limitations on the archiving even with that.
Correct.
But even with those limitations, the committee is still recommending that we go forward, but not having elected official council member pages because of those limitations. That's what I heard. So to me, that's not as long, that's not, so I'm asking why did the committee go forward with the city but not with elected officials, if the reason you didn't go forward with the elected officials was because of the limitations in the archiving, but we're still moving forward with the city webpage even though there's limitations. Why the difference?
And I'm happy to
go.
I appreciate it. An awesome question, because we had that one as well. And I was thinking option three originally. And then after talking with Gene and Liz about it, there's an increased liability, and there was a WCIA, potential WCIA issue with us doing it. And the safest option was sticking essentially with what we have. Option two is all the social media stuff we have now with the archiving as it exists. And essentially just beefing that up. Option one was to go backwards. We didn't want to do that. Option two made the most sense. It's safest. We didn't feel like there are a lot of things you might want to be a spearhead on. There's a whole bunch of no's for council member type things. So from that standpoint, if someone was to choose existing pages that may be there, those could still be there. Now, they would be subject to, you know, the rules and whatnot, but was that a problem?
That wasn't
Sorry.
A hit. It was the bottle.
It was the bottle.
Yeah.
I heard something strange.
Do you have a comment?
You have your own already. You know, your choice to continue to go with that as part of your First Amendment rights. That nothing changes with that. This is from the city's standpoint, and where that discussion went. So, we don't need to be a spear point on when there's so many other no's for other cities and council members, and having the city host it, because if you're doing your own thing, you're doing your own thing. If the city is hosting it, then you have this column at the bottom where all this additional increase in staff time, which, quite frankly, I'd rather have staff doing other things than having to monitor this kind of stuff. So from my standpoint, while I was originally thinking, oh, TK3 would be great, blogs, I don't know who's going to use it. That wouldn't be necessarily a way that I would choose to engage. It made more sense to stick with number two. And if somebody decided to be on their own and do their own thing, then they're on their own to do their own thing, which may be BAU existing as normal. So.
Before you continue, Councilmember Hanford, did you have anything to add from the committee?
No, just exactly what he said.
Okay, and before we continue, I want to be clear, for selecting option number two, how often do we post on our Facebook page right now?
Every time we update the website, basically, it goes out.
Okay.
It's automatic. We don't, as far as I know, nobody does anything on Facebook. It's what we set up, and things like that on the website.
Hi to that.
It just forwards them to Facebook.
Okay, so we do archives. I'm going to recognize the esteemed city clerk.
To just expand on the idea of that option two, it's currently similar to what we were doing now, as in we have a city web page and we also have a couple of city social media accounts. Currently, the way that social media accounts are utilized is to repost information from the website, so it's all secondary records. So from a record standpoint, that's how we address this, is we say that all the original content is on our city webpage currently, and so if somebody requested the information, we could provide it in that fashion. If we had the archiving services, we could post original content, which would amp up the presence on the city webpage. So not only could we continue to go with these feeds going out from our webpage and from different aspects, but then, you know, the city could also put out some original content, and that's something that could be expanded. And the other thought that was also brought up was, you know, if you could start with, you know, expanding this way, and then, you know, maybe in a little while you can reiterate or relook at how things are going and how much time it's taking staff, and then kind of reconsider some options, or even down the road see if technology catches up a little bit with us and that sort of thing. So.
Okay. And so the way that it's posted right now is it's one way. It just gets posted. There's no opportunity to comment.
People can comment on the things that are out there. We cannot turn that off, and currently we are not really monitoring that, and currently we do not have any comments.
Okay.
There's one.
Well, did you put an LOL out there?
No, 2013.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback, you still have the floor.
I will. I'm curious to hear what other council members think, and before we take the final vote, I'll press my button one more time.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Gearing, you were up next, and then Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Gearing.
And I appreciate Councilmember Cutterback yielding for my comments, and that was essentially it. It was the safest option, along with Liz's comments. It took less staff time, and if someone wanted to do their own thing, you know, they still could. But the bottom line from what the city, from a financial standpoint and a city staff standpoint, two was definitely the best option. But there's also the opportunity, as was expressed, if things, you know, hey, we kind of get the feel of this, the technology catches up a little bit, hey, then we can start expanding perhaps and relook at some of the other options. But to start out, option number two was certainly my preference after the discussion that we had. So thanks.
Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
I just want a point of clarification. So I'm looking at this chart. Governor's office and Snohomish County both have elected officials post comments. So especially with the governor's post, the staff itself handles any messaging that's going out, and they're doing all the archiving. And is that? I just want clarification on how the county and the
I can speak to the governor's office, because I spoke with their staff person that has been hired to manage social media.
Okay.
The staff person basically does all of the posting on the governor's page, and he doesn't do any of it directly. If he wants to make a specific post, he passes it to his staff. His staff then prepares a statement, a picture of this, of that. They pass it through their communications team, and after it's approved by everyone, they post it online. Snohomish County, it's a little less advanced, and I believe at this time there's only maybe a couple of council members that have their own pages, and I believe the way that works is they register the accounts with, they have an archiving service, and then the archiving service maintains all their posts. They are currently using a provider that we looked into, and they are also looking into, they're looking at some other options. To see what is out there, and if there's any better products,
Are their cost estimates the same for the county or the state? Well, for the state, it sounds like we're talking in a whole different universe. But
you know, honestly, I didn't worry about their cost estimates. The cost estimates that we used were based off of the number of accounts. And that's the numbers that you see there are based off of how many accounts, and that includes Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
And so after, you know, so many accounts, it's a certain price for this many accounts. And then once you go up in accounts, it, you know, goes down a little bit, but not a lot. So we kind of just did some estimating because, of course, if we're budgeting, we want to budget for the maximum number to make sure that everyone's supported.
Right.
That's kind of where those numbers came from.
Is there a reason why you did not use the City of Seattle?
Didn't get any information from them.
They wouldn't respond.
Yeah, I know that I believe Gene had spoken to someone before, and the information that you see, you know, it's not a. I didn't reach out to every single city and.
Well, that's fine.
Mostly, this is the people that I knew in the clerk's world that responded, and I was hoping to at least get a good mix.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was looking for somebody to copy.
Well,
I was hoping
fine.
To find someone that we could, you know, get some good information from.
I understand, Seattle. I knew someone who was working on the social policy, so I was just curious if he had. But again, that is a totally different arena than we're looking at. Cities are comparable in size. From what I've heard, the big concern are rules and capturing all the information that we would need to make sure that we can adequately support a request from people, from our voters. And at this point, it doesn't sound like the technology is mature enough to handle that without a lot of staff time. I'm concerned about it. I think I share the concern with the other council members who've mentioned it, and from what I've heard. But that's all I have. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. In regards to the archiving cost, options two and three, listed $1,600, and then option four, $3,250. I mean, is that an estimate, or is that, you know, all council members use it, all non-council members use it? I mean, how did we
estimate the...
The budget is based on maximum use, so that we can have enough money in our budget to provide everyone what they want, which would include a Facebook and a Twitter page. And frankly, that it only considers Facebook and Twitter, so if anyone wanted to expand any further into any other social media aspects, like LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, I've seen all of those out there. Pinterest, if you want to have council member Pinterest, those would all count as an account, and so then each one would count as one. And so there's, you know, I think, again, as you go up in numbers, the price per account goes up, down a little bit, but then, of course, depending on how many numbers. So yes, depending on how many active accounts you had, the numbers would change. That's why it's an estimated number. But again, we would budget to cover everyone.
And should make clear also that we did not do an RFP on this yet, and it's when you proceed with a more competitive bidding process that we can't do yet, you would get hard numbers. So that's why there's the tilde there with the approximation. So the numbers could be lower. They could also be higher.
And then sounds like with the committee discussion, there is concern with possible WCIA liability. Did I understand that correctly? What can you speak to that? What liability?
You know, I haven't been privy to that discussion, so I can't really speak to it. You know, one of the major concerns, just from any lawyer's point of view, is going to be the campaign laws in terms of restricting what you say during the campaign season.
Right, when we get to those policies, right? So if we're going to talk about liability, then we might need to move into a different forum, and we'd need to have the right attorneys here.
Okay. And has there been any current issues with our current social media policy? I mean,
no. Remember, one of the things
not policy, but
our practice, our technology.
Yes.
Right now, it sounds as if our records, in quotation marks, are secondary records, so they're transitory in nature. We're not hosting conversations in Facebook like you and I might do on our personal ones when we show pictures of vacations or, you know, birthday cakes and stuff like that. So we're not doing that right now, so I don't think we've had any issue with it, and we're probably not using it as much as we could, in part because of archiving, so, or lack thereof. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other council members have any questions or comments? Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I'll make my final comments. because everybody else has spoken who wants to speak, but can't say I'm not disappointed with, or I am disappointed with the committee's recommendation of option two. And I hear the comments, and I appreciate. I am listening to what you guys have recommended. And when I hear the comments of it's the safest route, you know, no one else has done it, that's not as persuasive to me, I guess. Because as leaders, you know, I deal with different leaders in many different walks of life, and there's being risk conscious and weighing it, and there's being risk adverse, which actually then you lose opportunity if that's the main reason not to do something. I think that social media is obviously here to stay. It's where our citizens, residents are at. That's a great, efficient, inexpensive way to engage people in the conversation. It's a town meeting at any time of day, no matter where you're at. And I've tried different techniques of setting times that I could meet with people and have people come and have coffee and engage in the discussion. Because part of the reason why I ran for office was really to engage people in the discussion. And one of the, you know, primary tenets or what I focus on is really having that engagement and listening to people and making sure that they understand that they can participate at any level. And I think social media is a perfect platform in which to do so. So I understand, I appreciate all the time and research that has been put in. I was hoping that we could move further than what the committee is recommending. My sense is, in hearing comments from council members, that that's not going to happen tonight, so I understand that. But I'm hoping that we will continue to have this discussion, continue to look at it, and, you know, as technology increases, that it will be something that this council will continue to bring back up. So as the motion stands, I want to explain why I will not be voting in favor of the motion right now. I would prefer, obviously, option four. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Camp?
I believe Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen is next.
Okay. You're deferring to Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen and then Councilmember Camp.
I agree with a lot of the comments on both the recommendation from the committee and then rest of the council members. I think echoing some of the comments, Facebook's here to stay, social media is here to stay, and I feel that it's really a great way to market, to communicate. It is the way to communicate, and it seems like anymore outside of face to face. I mean, it's the most popular way, social media. No question about it. I mean, that's where it seems like a lot of people go to get their information anymore, and then be able to communicate back and forth is frankly priceless. There is cost associated with it, I understand, but I think in the end the benefits that could come about it could outweigh those costs, or it could justify those costs more so. But also, I think risk aside can be outweighed as long as it's done, managed properly, and I believe it can be. So, I appreciate the recommendation, but I would actually rather see something a little bit more progressive, and with our social media and take a step out there. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen, Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I appreciate everything that I've heard. I came in here tonight fully hoping we could get option four. My big concern, the cost isn't the issue, it's the risk that I've seen from other cities that they have faced damaging impacts from public records requests and not being able to fulfill them. I know we discuss it as a risk, but I believe it is an important requirement for the city council and for the city government to be able to provide all the records that the people want in a timely manner. And if there are issues, if there are holes that need to be covered, then I believe we should be a little bit more conservative. I'm not happy with option two. I'll go with option two. I would really like option four, but the risk is just still there, and I would hope that we'd be able to look at this again. Again, if you have to take it out another year and look into it, great. Otherwise, I'll go with that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford and then Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yeah, just in response to your concerns, mm-hmm. We've kicked the can down, like we've talked about, month after month, hoping that we would get something more solid and that we could come back and say, hey, this is great, it's all going to work. And unfortunately, as fast as social media has gone, the supporting systems have not kept up. So I'm all for revisiting things in the future. I mean, I don't, please hear that we're just saying recommend start conservative and then go from there. But yeah, down the road, and like Councilmember Gearing said, at the beginning of our discussion this evening, he was all for option three. I was too until we found out more of the details, and then said, well, we should probably go with two then just for safety. So thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
So I have a question. Because option two puts it so the council members can have their own page regardless. But, how is there additional risk? Because if there's a request for records on a conversation from a council member's page, the city has to work, that comes through the city. They have to work with that individual to produce those records, correct?
Yeah, rephrase the question again. Sorry, we're sidebar.
So I have my own page. Public records request comes in because someone's viewing my page to the city that says, I want all the information on Councilmember Gamble's Facebook page and all emails associated with whatever subject threat that I viewed on their page. The same amount of hours and time and stuff, the way I'm looking at it, is going to go into that. Then if we were to house it, the only difference is that it's going to be harder to get it from the council member as opposed to having it housed on and backed up locally. So can you explain the difference there for me?
Correct. Currently, if a public records request comes in to the city, it goes through the city clerk and it's fielded that way. If it is in regards to your private Facebook page, which could happen today, then typically that request would be forwarded to the particular council member of interest, and it would be up to the council member to do their due diligence, run through, provide what they can, and then you would sign an affidavit and turn that in. Certainly could go further than that if there was a court case or something of that nature where something was subpoenaed or something of that nature.
So why? Go ahead.
Sorry. Zach's not here, but if he was, the thing he says every year when he comes out is if you're conducting business through any electronic medium, it better go through the same server. So it should be done through email. So if you're doing it on Facebook, yeah, it shouldn't be. It should be going, you should be talking through your constituents, through your Outlook, through your @monroelaw.gov email, so it goes through the same server. So if a request comes in, you should be listening. That's under
today. And if you're talking about in comparison to option four, the difference here is that the elected official social media would be that you would have perhaps your username would be your monroelaw.gov. We would enter that information into some sort of archiving service, perhaps with a password or something that allows this computer program to capture whatever's on your Facebook page that you have given the city access to and run copies of the material on there every periodical period. So that would be what would be different under that versus what could occur today if you happen to conduct city business on your existing personal Facebook account.
Well, and I'm not talking about the most folks have set up on a political page for themselves on Facebook. And that's how also, I know that Patsy. Most all of us did it when we ran.
I didn't. No.
One point of clarification, you do know that when you are running for office, that is actually different and
it's completely different.
Not under the same state statute.
Totally understand, but you understand my point, is that if you set up a separate profile page than your personal.
Yes. Well, and it's to go to back to Ben's point, is the current policy on technology usage is that it's city businesses to be done on city-provided email and servers and whatnot, so that's why there is an option for presented.
Yeah, so I guess explain to me how it's safer for us to go the other way and just go back to two and let people have their own page and not go through. I mean, it just removes our liability. Is it? Is that what I mean? But the policy says, but are it being in direct conflict of our policy the minute a elected official goes and posts something on their Facebook page, correct? So basically, we're saying don't have a Facebook page.
I think the isn't
in our policy.
The key here, whether you're conducting or discussing public business. I mean, again, the birthday cake example, that's perfectly appropriate for your Facebook page. But if you're discussing public business as an elected official,
on your elected official page.
Well, yes, but if you use, I think the risk when you use your private email account or another account, the city's still liable to produce those records, and what you put yourself in the position of is having a court order your hard drive.
So this is a circular argument because that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm trying to understand if that is the case, we're going to have to do it anyway. I don't understand why we wouldn't. I mean, the whole reason why we went through this process is we did have council members that were using, elected, which they have a right, and we have a policy that's in violation of their right in the way that I'm looking at it. I don't understand. Am I mistaken?
I think it's just the cost. The city's resources, then it's archived, it's searchable, it's much easier to produce the documents.
Mm-hmm.
You're right that ultimately you're going to need to produce them, but at an extreme cost, and if there are delays, the city could be liable for damages and fines.
If there's delays in providing it the other ways, there could still be fines too, correct?
Sure, yes sir.
So is it going to be quicker for us to pull it if we archive it ourselves, or if we're relying on...
I think I can't speak to
what I'm struggling with is that what I'm hearing is our policy says don't do it unless you're going through the city server. But you as an elected official have the right to have your own page. So as soon as you go and you open it up and you do it, you're in violation of the policy. That makes no sense to me.
There is no policy that says don't do it, though, actually. It's a recommendation.
Under existing conditions.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have, to my knowledge, an adopted policy, do we, about the use of social media? It's just that
we're trying to get to that.
Yeah, we have it for email, but we don't have a policy right now. And that's part of what we're doing right here. If the vote is for option two, we'll come up with a policy. The policy will need to include a policy that we strongly urge you not to use social media. For this, that may be one of the policy recommendations that comes out of it.
Yeah.
With option four, the policy would read potentially something like, and again, we'd have to talk to staff about this, but we strongly urge you, we strongly recommend that you do not use social media except for the social media account that is backed up from, the City of Monroe through the archiving service. So that would be sort of the difference.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
So fundamentally saying don't, yeah, I got it.
Either way,
you still have a first amendment right to do. I understand, yeah. But you see, I mean, I think we're ignoring the obvious. It's 2014. We need to budget this. We need to figure out a way to do it, whether I personally would use it or not. You know, we need to be able to provide council members that option, mm-hmm. because it is something that, you know, you have that, you know, the constitutional right. We need to figure it out. We take a lot of, we've made decisions as a council. Last time I checked, I think we're the only city that has a wakeboard park being installed in a public-private partnership, and there's risk that's associated with that. This is something that's going to be a part of, social media, you know, whether you're for or against it, is a part of the political process going forward. It's going to be a main part of it. So I will be voting no as well.
Okay, Councilmember Guerin.
Thanks. Yeah, just to recap, option two, the point was the ability to expand later. It was, it's a more conservative route until things catch up a little bit, and then all those things. I think option four would be great. I just don't want to start there because of the additional staff. Quite frankly, because of the additional staff time, it's extra money. We don't know that it's going to work, and lack of use. Now, this could just be. You know, if only one person uses it, then there's going to be a lot less hours. And that's certainly the case as well. And I get that. And that's why I'm not opposed to other options. I just think that option two is the best place to start. Because it, again, with staff time, and it's what we know we can handle at this time. And then we increase as we're able to, as we're more comfortable with it, as staff gets a handle on it, because it's going to be staff's job to do it. And then we expand from there. I think everybody's been in favor of expanding. And I think the full option is great. I just don't think it's wise to start there. So, again, thanks.
Okay, so we've heard from all the council members. We have one missing. I can go ahead and call for the vote. Or if there's an interest in continuing the conversation to the second, when our calendar currently shows that there will be 7 council members present, one of the things that I would observe is that, depending upon how the vote goes, that we want to make certain that the policy that comes forward is going to have support from the whole body of, you know, from the majority of council. So that's something I'm thinking through. So are there any other discussion items on the table? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Put your hands up. Okay, so we have Council Members Hanford, Camp, and Gehring voting in favor of the motion. All opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so we have Council Members Cuttaback, Rasmussen, and Gamble voting nay. So we have a 3-3 vote.
The mayor could break the tie either way.
So my preference would be that we hear from Councilmember Davis. And the part of the reason for that is that we are going to have policies that are going to come forward after this. Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. It's just a point of order. Is it required that the mayor break a tie when there's 3-3? Or is it only the mayor's prerogative to either do it or not?
Under council rules, it's the mayor's prerogative.
Thank you. That's all.
It fails with the tie.
I understood that. I didn't know if it was different. Each mayor kind of does it a little bit differently. That's all. Thank you.
So this is an issue that we have been dealing with for some time. A vote where the mayor makes the decision in this sort of situation, we're going to be living with the decision that's made. More importantly, staff, and what I mean by that is that staff's going to move forward and start drafting policies, and I have a concern about having the policies come back here and have a vote that is 3-3, have all 7 of you here, and then have the vote go 4-3 the opposite direction of the way that I break the tie tonight, whichever way it goes. I'd prefer to have all 7 council members here to vote on it before staff start spending a significant amount of time on drafting policies that could end up failing because the fourth person that's not here for the vote on either side feels differently. So with that, the motion fails. Councilmember Hanford.
That's fine. I was just going to ask if you can put it on the next date when he'll be here.
Yes. So with that said, I note that all members are present on September 2nd. Is there anybody that is please speak now that is not going to be here on the 2nd of September? Okay, and I'll assume that Ed's going to be here on the 2nd of September. He's doing the pledge. Okay, so we're going to move this on to the September 2nd agenda, and that takes care of that item. Any other items on that before we move forward to the next item on the agenda? Okay. The next item of new business is AB 14106, Monroe Public Defense System Briefing. And I believe that, Scott, do you have this one?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, council members. I've been working with your city clerk, Elizabeth Smoot, as well as stakeholders such as the new court administrator, the prosecutor, the public defender, to address needed changes in the city's public defense system. Since the council considered establishing a municipal court, there have been two really profound changes in the way public defense services are going to be provided. First, the Washington Supreme Court is imposing caseload limits, which will limit the public defender to 400 cases a year. Secondly, Robert Lasnik, judge in the federal district, had a very important decision that defined how public defense services needed to be provided in the context of a misdemeanor court, a high-volume municipal or district court. Those changes are going to profoundly increase the cost of public defense services. We've begun a process, again, interviewing stakeholders, reviewing your contracts, meeting both with your public defender and with the backup public defenders, those who provide services in the event of conflict, or if you get an overflow in the number of cases that can be handled. The purpose of the briefing really is to let you know that we're responding. Those cities who are paying any attention should be responding. We've got a brief window of opportunity. The American Civil Liberties Union, which brought the litigation in Mount Vernon and Burlington, have announced that they're going to be sending letters out in September advising cities who are slow to respond that they believe they're out of compliance. What you will be seeing in the next few months are revisions to the contract for your public defender and the backups, the conflict counsel. You will see and be asked to approve a request for qualifications. As you establish a new court, this is also a good time, given the probable increase in cost for public defense services, to look at the parts of your criminal justice system, your prosecutor, your public defender, you're making changes in the court, and the final key stakeholder, your police department. Part of the review is taking a look at things that you've made a crime to see whether you're charging, you're getting the most bang for your criminal buck, if you will. The four parts of your system, defense, prosecution, police, and the courts, are all interrelated. If your police write more tickets, your defender's going to defend more tickets, more crimes. The court will hear more motions. More cases are going to be tried in order to comply with the Wilbur decision. Again, we're looking at the problem. This will come back to the council over the next few months in revised contracts, potential changes to some of your players. You'll decide. I should say that your public defender, Amy Trua, has served the city well for many years, gets high marks for her energy and defense in court. Kind of the lesson here is that there are really profound changes in the way public defenders need to conduct their office practice, keep records, and make reports. The Wilbur decision, Mount Vernon and Burlington, it wasn't a civil rights action that led to damages. It was a civil rights action under Section 1988, which is the injunction provision. And what that case meant to Mount Vernon and Burlington were $2.2 million in legal fees and increased costs in those cities of several hundred thousand dollars per city. The city needs to comply. We're actively working on it. Wanted to let you know that that was underway. Happy to answer questions. I provided a advisory from your Washington City's Insurance Authority. I wrote this one, so I know I do know about this issue. But would happy to answer any questions you think.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Just one clarification. We'd be looking at this no matter if we were establishing a municipal court or not.
Absolutely,
this has
correct.
To do with our contract with the public defender. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, though, to work with your court administrator and your judge upon appointment to make sure that everything from the arraignment process, the courtroom setup is complete.
Sure.
It's a great opportunity to do things right.
Well, in reading through the material, it appears that all the steps that you listed that we would be taking seem perfect. I mean, exactly what we need to be doing. So I appreciate the city's, you know, paying attention to this and moving forward. So that's it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so going forward, we'll have did you want to talk about upcoming agenda items that are going to be related to this?
Absolutely, Mayor. We've met several times with Ms. Trua. Ms. Smoot and I met today with your backup public defender. We're going to have new contracts to you from now to the end of the year that are aimed at improving the reporting, the information that the city gets. I think the real underlying message from Wilbur is that Mount Vernon and Burlington had a public defense system that was as good or better than most in the state. These are just profound underlying changes. But they, like most cities, took the lowest bid, relied on tools like, for example, when you have a construction project, you take a prevailing wage statement and a non-collusion affidavit. You allow people to certify to you that they're complying with the law. One of the primary messages here is that cities have an obligation to look and dig deeper, which is what we're doing. So you'll be seeing contracts changes from now to the end of the year with your current group, public defense, conflict counsel, and prosecutor. And then RFQs, requests for qualifications, during the fall, so that as your new court comes in, you can see it's a check. Again, not a negative comment in any way on your current service providers, but this is a good opportunity to have a truly neutral, we're hoping, blue ribbon panel of judges and public defenders listen to the candidates and validate your current staff.
Okay, and a couple things there. Mr. Snyder mentioned that going forward next year that you're going to be seeing an increase in costs associated with this for the 2015 budget. Staff already became aware of and already submitted an application for a grant that would take care of part of that for 2015, and we're hoping to have a response on that grant application as early as when the budget comes out. So. We are taking steps to try to manage those costs with other resources, but in the event that doesn't come through, and certainly for 2016, which is a year off, there will be increased costs. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda is councilmember reports. We'll go ahead and start with the Legislative Affairs Committee, and then we'll go around to the individual council members. Any reports on, from the Legislative Affairs Committee aside from social media?
No, and I know.
Okay. If there's anything perfect. Councilmember
Reed? Oh, I'm up. Thank you. My favorite time of year, one just from all the sports going on, but two here in Monroe. It's just awesome. It's the beginning of It's the end of summer, beginning of school, but, you know, football, but the fair, it's always just a blast. It's one of my favorite things about living here in living here in Monroe is the kids, we've already driven by a couple of times, hey, you know, they're setting up for the fair. So they're just the anticipation, I love it so much. And just all the great things that are going on. I'm just really thrilled. The chamber stuff is just awesome and looking forward to the smokestack getting painted. So just a really good buzz right now in town, around town. I'm just really pleased. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, it's a great time of year, football. The Monroe Youth Football kicked off their season this last weekend and made the dreaded trip, the trip to Snohomish. where the North Sound Jamboree was held this weekend. It was great. It's always great to see, you know, all the kids from the peewee level all the way up to the junior bantams, you know, and stuff. But what was really neat this year, I think I said last week, is that, you know, we do have a new football coach at the high school level. He's completely engaged with the program. Everybody's, you know, throughout. He was there, his son's on the peewee squad, and so he was out. Monroe represented very well throughout the age groups. Running the new offense, we're deploying a completely different scheme.
You want to say more about that on the record?
Good. No. But there's plenty of tape on it.
When you line up in the eye for me.
Exactly. It was great. Pee Wee's, the black team, went undefeated this weekend. The 89er team went undefeated. Actually, no one scored on them. So it was great. Saw a lot of folks out there. And then it was great. When we came back yesterday on Monday, and I know that probably several in the community have seen this ALS challenge that has gone viral on videos, which is great. It's much needed focus on a disease that affects a lot of people, but is one of the most underfunded diseases that are out there for a cure. And it's been very successful, and the football team jumped in this week, and the 89er team and coaches took the bucket challenge, and then the Monroe Youth Football organization challenged our one own mayor, Mr. Jeffrey Thomas. So if I'm not mistaken, he is going to be fulfilling that challenge after the meeting, which is awesome.
When the meeting adjourns.
Should go to
no
like 10.
No business to be discussed.
We should go to like 10 late to make it even colder. stick around for that, because that should be good. But the kids thought that was great, to be the challenge to Mayor of Monroe. So anyway, just a great time of year.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
So if I speak slowly, we'd be able to extend this, because I would have the floor until...
Then you'll get nothing.
Actually, I'm just going to... I just want to wish everybody a happy Fair Days. I'm really looking forward to the parade, Fair Parade Day version 2 that we've been promised a lot about. It's going to be quite an event. I hope to see everybody there. And that's it.
Thank you, Councilmember.
I shortened it just for you.
Thank you. That was a question mark. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Actually mentioned to Brad earlier today, had a chance a couple weeks ago out running, come across the previous pavement along Hill Street where they repaved. It is awesome. Run on it, feels like you're running on a cloud. So you trip, and then not so much. But it's very cool, good to see. And hopefully we can do more of that, and that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I love how the roundabout is looking, Brad, up there on Kelsey and Chain Lake. It's moving very well, so thanks for all the city. The flag's coming, thank you. I was wondering about that. And looking forward to the parade this Saturday. It should be great.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, love the construction downtown. The paving looks beautiful. Roundabout, the parade coming up. Just a great time. Very excited. And the fair.
Thank you. Deputy Chief Gennard.
Nothing to report.
Ben?
It's 70 degrees out.
We better stall.
Brad? Liz, do you have anything? Okay. Gene, do you have anything before we move into me?
Just one quick thing I wanted to bring to Council's attention in case I forgot. We received a request for information from a citizen last week in regards to Al Borland Park and who was Al. Staff did a great job of researching that. This citizen pointed out that there was no information on Al at the park nor on our website. So we did a little digging, and indeed we found that was true, and Mike has added information to the website about Al Borland and his contribution to the community. So that's on our website now.
Who is he?
He was a former council member, and he was an interim mayor for a short period of time, and he was also the ag teacher at Monroe, and he was like on the fairgrounds committee or something.
Fair advisory board?
Fair advisory
board.
Well, thank you. So it's quite a little bit of contribution he had done during his time here in Monroe.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and give my report out, and then we'll come back to the extended agenda and the agenda for next week. So I had we had a couple things last week, just thought to report out on quickly. One, we have the staff appreciation lunch on Thursday. Again, I want to express my thanks to everybody involved that helped put that on. I know that we had for our cooks, we had Brad, we also had Gene. Who else was cooking?
Scott Parr.
And Scott. Mm-hmm. And then I know that we had some folks on cleanup. I think Ben was there doing cleanup and setup, and a number of other folks. We handed out, or rather thanked a few people for 5, 10, 15, and two people for 20. Discovered that the people that were hired 15 years ago all had the first had a first name that began with a J. So apparently that was popular 15 years ago. The other item of note is this last weekend I gave the welcome at the Mexican Family Rodeo on Sunday. So I addressed a crowd of they told me you told me between 10 and 15,000 people in Spanish. And so she has video, yeah. mm-hmm. So that was a real pleasure. The rodeo was, I'd never been before, was different than what I expected. It wasn't like I see on TV in the commercials where there's a, you know, there are horses and bulls and all this other stuff. Instead, it was a smaller ring, and there was music playing the whole time. After a few hours of bull riding, it then transferred over to where all the bull riding things were taken off the track, and instead it became sort of music and just one big family oriented party. There was food there. My wife and also Una got a wonderful pineapple. What were those called again?
Pina Diablo.
Okay, that Pina Diablo. Was it Diablo? Oh, okay, pineapple devil. Okay, so but there was no alcohol in it, right? Okay, but it was just a bunch of fruit and veggies and everything, and tacos and all sorts of great stuff and great music. So that was a real pleasure being able to do that, and I'm happy that my Spanish worked, right? I didn't say anything I should. Okay, good. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the next week's agenda and then the extended agenda. And again, please, as we're going through this, if you know of a date you're not going to be here, please let us know now. Okay, Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. The draft agenda for August 26, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have the Washington State Department of Corrections will be here. And this is a budget short primer for the city's various funds. Diane Nelson will be putting that on. We have the consent agenda, and under new business, the approval of ordinance number XXX 2014 regarding Eaglemont Division Number 1, PRD, preliminary plat, and you'll note that it's first and final reading on that. And then we have the draft agenda for September 2nd, 2014.
Okay, and before we move on to that, will we have an attorney here at our meeting next week?
I believe so.
Okay.
We'll have to make sure we do.
Okay. Sounds
I'll make,
good.
I'll make provisions to do that.
Okay, because we'll have one other update next week that I'm aware of right now.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll make that happen.
All right, and then we can go on to September 2nd. All right. Okay, so for September 2nd then, we've added social media, and go ahead.
That was all.
Okay. Does anybody have any additions to the extended agenda? Okay. Seeing none, and I have no other business. Do you have any other business? Okay. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. To get this over with quickly, I'll take a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. And I better sign paperwork.
All right.